Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word, means family. We're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, all the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. Now, I believe this with all of my heart. The Muslim person that God himself has had cross your path is not an accident. God wants you to love that Muslim and demonstrate the kingdom of God through signs and wonders to lead them to Jesus. And that's why I'm so excited about this brand new book by Faisal Malik called 10 Amazing Muslims Touched by God, because now you have a tool for this Muslim friend of yours. Now, if you don't have a Muslim friend, I promise you that when you read this book of 10 Amazing Muslims, you'll see what a normal Christian is really like. And I believe that same presence of God that are on all 10 of these former Muslims is going to jump off the pages right on you. I have one of the people in the book that I'm speaking to, Kalida Wukowitz. And Kalida, I have to tell you, when I read your story, I could not believe a human could go through as much suffering from a young age as you did, and come out landing on your feet, happily married today, a believer in Jesus. You should have been dead many times over.
That's the truth. That is so true. What you say is true, but what most is true is our Lord is real, our Yeshua, and his power is alive and well today. And he could come to people and touch them and change them and make them a new creature. And that's what happened with my story.
Kalida, I want to take you back. You were born in Bethlehem. And when you were 11 days old, your mom died. They brought you into a Jewish orphanage. So although you're Arab, you're being raised as a Jew. You lived as a Jew. But when you were 9, the devil tried to get rid of you, and you went out with another girl to get some water, and a bomb hit the orphanage that you were put into, and everyone died except the two of you that went out to the well, and then it gets worse. I mean, not only are you an orphan, and now almost orphaned again, the orphanage is destroyed, but then they sell you to Bedouins, and you become their servant, and you learn about Islam, and you fall in love with Islam. But they didn't treat you too well, did they?
No. It was really a hardship on me to be in the orphanage and also to be a slave. You know, no one wants to be a slave. But the Lord was good, and he rescued me out of, out of that.
Yeah, what I found interesting is the only food they gave you was leftovers, and you were raised to hate the Jew, to hate Israel. But this is amazing. I mean, God had his hand on you. You should have died when the bomb went off in the orphanage. You should have died from the treatment that you had at the hands of the Bedouins. I mean, you're just 9 years old now, and you were only fed leftovers. You're living in the desert. You don't have much to drink or much to eat. You're literally dying, starving from, you don't have enough food, you don't have enough water, living in the desert. But you had what happens to lots of Muslims, a dream. Tell me about it.
Yes. I had a dream, and in the physical, I would be absolutely so hungry, and I have no more strength to walk one more step. I was without a shoes, with tore up the clothes, and I would lay with the camels, with the animals, because I took care of my camel, and I would lay there, and I would have this are so vivid, really dreams. If a huge table sat before me, and a beautiful man, I couldn't tell his face at that table, and he will invite me to that table, and he will tell me to eat and to drink, and every kind of food you could imagine is there. Ice water is there, and that is a treasure in the desert to have ice water. There is no such thing in reality. And, you know, fresh water. And I, in the dream, will come to that table and I will eat. And when I got up from the dream, it was like it was real. It was something actually happened to me. My stomach will be full with food. My spirit will be satisfied. And I will have the strength to get up and walk again in the hot desert and travel with my people. So that was the grace of God on me. That was my Lord and Savior doing this.
And you didn't even know him. You're a practicing Muslim. And then soldiers came and took all the Bedouin children and put them into an orphanage. So now you're in an orphanage again. But this was in Jordan. And King Hussein had something to do with that. Explain that.
We found out that the orphanage actually run by a sister or a relative of King Hussein. And what they did is they found Palestinian children who are orphaned, and they host them in that orphanage. So he showed up in person and came to check on us and made sure that we were all right. And that was really wonderful, you know. But then
they found your natural father, so they
right.
rip you out of this wonderful situation, and your father takes you in. But
right.
he wouldn't act like a father; he treated you like a slave.
Right. The circumstances around it that he had three wives, and his first wife already had a dozen of children for him, and he denied that he was my father because it was going to destroy his marriage. It was going to destroy his relationship with his first wife, and it became a hardship. So he denied it. However, the Jordanian police, the government, threatened him. They said to him, "We don't care if she's your birth daughter or not. You must take her in and you must accept her as your child, or we're just going to jail you. You don't have a choice." So he had to take me in, but I was very mistreated. I was very mistreated because I wasn't accepted.
You were horribly abused. You were going from tragedy to tragedy. So at 15, he marries you off. And it was a horrible situation. The man that married you after you had a child with him shipped you back home and said, "I don't want her as my wife anymore." So now your father, who treated you as a slave, hates you even more. And then he finds another man that's willing to marry you, and he forces another marriage on you. So you relocate from Libya, that's where he was, to Connecticut. You have three children with that marriage. But he began to beat you also. He beat you so hard, he broke your jaw.
Yeah. Both of my husbands, the first and the second husband, were Muslim imams. They were leader in the community, but no one really knew how bad I was treated as a wife, as a Muslim wife.
And he was going to kill you, and you hear a voice, and the voice tells you to leave the darkness. Why did you obey that voice?
When I heard the voice, I thought maybe I'm going crazy, but with that voice came peace. It came strength that I never had before. So I thought, I lost everything I could lose. It's not going to get worse than what it is right now. It's not going to hurt to follow that voice, to give it a try.
So you leave. I assume you didn't have any money. You leave with your, three children? What do you do?
I just basically roamed the street because I didn't speak English back in 1997. My children were too young. They haven't started the school yet. I have 2 6-year-olds and 1 2-year-old, and I didn't know how to communicate.
So you were homeless, but a Christian woman observes you, takes you in, gives you a job, shares Jesus with you, but you were too strong a Muslim, even with everything that had gone on. 1.5 years go by, but you wanted to know the truth. What happened?
What I saw is that woman was filled with joy, with peace, with love. Even her life was not so fancy, but she had peace. And I got to a place where I was sick and tired of being sick and tired and being chased by the enemy. I wanted what she had. I wanted the peace of Christ. Even in my mind, I couldn't believe that God have a son, because they taught us in Islam to not even think that God have a son. It's forbidden. The thought is forbidden. But I feel like even if I have to lose it all, I have to find out the truth. I want what that woman has. I must have it. So I went after it. I prayed and I asked Jesus on a personal level. I said, if you really, they say who you are, because I wasn't really sure. I'm a praying to a God then. I wasn't sure about it, but I knew in my heart that I need to do it. I said, if you really, they say who you are, the Son of God, or if you are real, would you show me? Would you show me that you are real? And wow, you know, our amazing God just shows up. He shows up.
What do you mean he showed up? What happened?
What happened is I was in, that woman gave me a job, and I was in the back of the store. And as I walked into the back of that store in the room itself changed and was filled with light. And as I looked into that light, I couldn't even, you know, look at it. It's like looking at the sun at 12 noon. You cannot really see it. You cannot put your eye in it, but that light was overwhelming light, and a voice started talking to me, and I saw a person coming toward me.
Whoop, we're out of time. We'll pick up right here on tomorrow's broadcast, but Mishpucha, her story, along with some former Muslims who, for their faith, they were buried alive, that move in the most extraordinary miracles. I mean, Kalita saw heaven, and she'll tell you about it. Kalita saw hell, and she's going to tell you about it. But when you read this book called 10 Amazing Muslims Touched by God, your faith will be stirred like nothing else you have ever done in your life. Then give this book to the Muslim God is going to have cross your path. And then the two CDs, East Meets West, the best secrets of the invisible world that they have understood, that they want to impart to you. Both available for a gift of $40. To hear this week's interview or watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural!, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 704-943-6500. That's 704-943-6500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation to Sid Roth. That's SIDROTH, Post Office Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28278.